God bless you, Tim. What a blessing. I know you understand, I hope you understand, that the average tenure for a youth pastor is 3 years. For a minister of music is 3 years. For most assistants, a short time. We have a unique situation because God's orchestrated this. God put everybody together. And any one of these men could make probably three times as much money. I know you don't believe that, but they could. There are churches that pay that for their ministry gifts. And just the one aspect of Tim and Wendy, the drama they do, that it's a major, I mean, two times a year. That is a major production. And it's awesome. Awesome. And then the miracle of the school ministry in Johnson County, I hope you understand that all that was in Tim's heart. He's the one who got a burden for praying for all the teachers and praying for all the principals and had it out in the camp on the windows and then how miraculous. It's just a miracle. There's not another county in this state or any state. It starts like with 40-something schools and only three Bible clubs and now got 30-something. 45 Bible clubs in it's almost 3 years, a little over 3 years now. That's a miracle. A miracle. God did that. And thank God for it. Brother Brad has been with us the longest, 15 years. He's God's man. I love him with all my heart. When we first got him to come and help us with the music and be minister of music, God blessed us. He and I have always had a wonderful relationship. He came to do music, but no sooner he got here to say, Brother Billy, I want to go visiting with you. And so we came, and I do a lot of things spur of the moment. I mean, I feel like, Lord, let me go see somebody, do this, that, and the other. Can you imagine that? I do that all the time. And so it was kind of hard for me to coordinate, but we did. He rode with me some. He prayed a lot with riding. But we visited, but we talked and fellowshiped, and over the years we've shared in burdens. He loves you, loves this church, and he's worked a full-time job the whole time he's been here. For 7 years he did our youth ministry and our choir. We never gave him another penny extra, and it didn't make near enough anyhow, but he did all of that, not for the money. Money had no object. It's a matter he loved people, loved God, loved these young people, loved this church. And I thank God for him. He's God's man. And he's we Tim, myself, Justin, we've never had any kind of odds, anything. They have gifts. They have ministries. I let God use them. And same way with Brad. People talk about the minister of music, this, that, and the other. But I'm going to tell you, I can call Brad anytime. Sometimes just for church or sometime at church. He's very flexible. He wants to do what God wants. And I want to say I thank the Lord for God's man. Brother Brad was a member of his home church there for several years. And then when God called him to preach some time ago and God gave him a burden to minister, his home church ordained him into the ministry. He's preached a lot of revivals and preached a lot around in different places. He's preached for us here. But he's got a heart for this church and for you. He loves you, and I love him and April and the whole family. And Brother Brad Thompson, I want to say I love you, and you come and share a word with you. God bless you. Amen.
The other day I had the opportunity, it was Friday as a matter of fact, my mom was retiring from her position as the town clerk in Pine Level, 1 month shy of having 40 years of service in. And I grew up being drugged to church, had a drug problem. You've heard that before. She was a minister of music at my home church for 20 plus years. And so if you ever look at me and see anybody that's wanting to skip here, there, and everywhere just because that's the popular thing to do for personal gain or whatever it may be, you're looking at the wrong person for that. I kind of learned from that to grow where you're planted. And God planted me here for purpose, to grow. And I hope that you've seen that. We were talking, April and I were talking the other day, and I'll be the first to tell you, I'm not the same person that I was when we met up 17 years ago. I'm not that person anymore. and I thank God for that. I've been in ministry now almost 20 years. I was filling out an application the other day for educational stuff and so forth, and started asking me to list out all these positions. I stepped back and said, wow, I didn't realize I had all that I was writing down. And I had to go back and think about that. I've been hanging around old people so long, I'm starting to forget stuff. But I thank you for allowing me to serve you. I said a while ago, I don't think you folks realize how much I need you as well. I don't want to come into an empty house of God. You know what I mean? I want to worship with his people. If he's here, that's all I'll need. I get that. But he told us to assemble together. And I enjoy being with you folks. I enjoy what he's called me to do. There's some challenges. And as much as, like I was talking about my mom retiring and so forth, seasons come and go, seasons change. And there's a purpose for that. And I know in my own life, seasons are changing. Now, what that means, I don't know. I don't know. But I'm going to go into it with my eyes wide open and my heart wide open to be led of him. And I just want to be used of him. My goal in the next little while for Benson Grove is to continue to see us do more than we've ever done. And I know that sounds cliche, but if you ride by some of these communities that are popping up here, there, and everywhere, I rode down over by this camp not all that long ago and was absolutely blown away, because I used to go down to that road every Saturday, well, most every Saturday, to race with John and Peggy at the racetrack and so forth when I was much, much younger. And there wasn't that many houses along that road. And now there's a church there that's popped up in the last little bit. Now there's real deep subdivisions that have popped up along that road and so forth. And that's just over there by where the track used to be. And then you ride up and down these roads right here, and there's houses that are popping up. And if you look at that house and you say, it may be empty at the moment because nobody's moved into it just yet, but it's going to be full of somebody's souls, eventually speaking. Somebody's going to move into those houses, and you have to look at those houses and say, a soul's going to live there. A soul's going to live there. More than one soul is going to live there. Amen. And you have to look at it like that and say, what am I doing for the cause of Christ? And I pray that we'll all have the same burden, not just any one individual, but that the body would have the same burden for the souls that will be in the houses around us. Not everybody will come to Benson Grove. I get that. And that's fine. God will put them where he wants them to be. But we want them all to come to Jesus. Amen. It's not about that Benson Grove won them to the Lord. It's not about that. It's just that they were won to the Lord. The eternity is secure. And then they'll get in, plugged in with the body, and they'll be used where the body, where God plants them to be used. So it's not about Benson Grove getting that glory. It's that he gets it and that he shines. Amen. And I pray that you'll join me in that endeavor. God called me. I grew up in a missionary Baptist church. I grew up there and served there for 5+ years in my home church, in music and youth ministries. And I grew up in the missionary Baptist culture. And the missionaries would come by, and I can remember they would sing their songs. And then they would use the front altar table to lay out some trinkets and what have you of the people that they were ministering to. And that was so long ago, they were still using the slides that you put in the old, you know what I'm talking about, that advanced one slide at a time. I don't even remember what that thing's called. That too. Slide, yes. I remember those, and I can remember hearing them sing and so forth, and that made a big impression on me. I can tell you, did I go away from what I grew up with and what I had given myself over to when I was younger? Yes. But it was through my being down on the bottom, what I thought was the bottom, and being forced to have to look up and rededicate myself to what he'd have me to be. And he's still working on me.
Amen.
But he put inside of me a long time ago that we've got to be missionaries right here. Not just in the four walls, but outside of this building. Miss Gwen said it best the other day. Somebody testified about Miss Gwen. It might have been, it was Wednesday night. Billy's talking about Miss Gwendale, and I hope she's listening in. We say hey to her, and we love you. But she said she was hoping that the Lord would allow her to get back to church. And some family said, well, we got a church a little bit close by you. She said, no, I want to get back to my church. And it's not the building that I want to go back to. She said, I want to be around my people, because the church is the people.
Amen.
I love you. I thank God for you. And let's keep doing what we can do to win people to the Lord. Thank you. God bless you.
Amen.
Amen. What a blessing. Amen. It's 21 after. We're not going to preach. I'm going to read one verse. Open your Bibles to John chapter 11. Didn't know how this would go today. We do a lot of different things around here. If you have been here since January, or if you've been here 100 years, you know things are not always like it's... we don't really have a good or bad. We don't always have an agenda. Don't have a plan other than just mind the Holy Ghost. And that's worked pretty good so far. And I remember years ago when I was in Southern Baptist Convention, I went to an evangelism conference, and there was a brother named Jack Wilder, and his church was experiencing revival. They were souls being saved, and people going everywhere, and God was a-moving. And some of them raised a question, you know, about when it was time just to talk and ask him about things. They asked him, do you have a program that you go by so far as program of visitation, a program of the, and, you know, orchestrating everything? He said, no, but if God ever quits blessing, we'll probably get one. Boy, that spoke to my heart right there. I'd rather have God's blessing. I want to read one verse. This verse was in my heart. This month is, the whole month is about love. We're going to emphasize love. We got some speakers. We're going to have our men's fellowship and ladies' fellowship next Saturday morning. And Valentine, all love this whole month. Amen. Brother Bill will be here at the end of the month. But here's a verse that I want to think about. Something came in my heart the other day that I wanted to say to our staff. And I hadn't really got them all together to say it. But as we think about what the Lord's done for us, and God's been good to us and blessed us, I'm so thankful that He's blessed me with so many things and allowed me to be used some. But all of these years, I've never felt like that God did anything for me or to me because He was obligated to. I felt like that everything He ever did for me or to me came out of His love for me. And if we don't minister that way, if we do it as a job, if we do it as a duty or responsibility, it's not effective. But people need to know that we really care, really love them. And I want to show you something, what a witness it is. I'm looking at 1 John, and I want to just pick up a little phrase here in this passage of Scripture. And as Lazarus has died, and Jesus has come to their house, and I want to read just one verse. It's the shortest verse in the Bible, and as this is a starter verse. Look at verse chapter 11 of John and verse 35. Jesus wept. People got all kind of reasons for why He wept. He wept because he didn't want Lazarus to have to come back and go back through the whole process of death all over again. I don't really know any of those things. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I think He genuinely wept because of compassion. Because the people around there who were His greatest skeptics, they picked up on it. Verse 36 will explain verse 35. Then said the Jews, behold how He loved Him. Why did He weep? We wept because He loved Him. I love that little phrase. Oh, they said, behold how He loved Him. And my message I'm going to preach another time is behold how He loves you. He loves you just like He loved Lazarus. Isn't that something? He loves you. And I thank God for that. And for you and I to be servants of the Lord as Christians, regardless of what they say about our doctrine or this or that or the other, I sure would love them to say, behold how he loves him or them or what. Jesus said it, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. That is somebody who follows and learns from him. And if you'll learn from him, you'll learn this. You'll learn to let the love of Christ permeate your heart and life and really love people, and your enemies will pick up on it and they'll see that love demonstrated. Let's stand together, will you? If you're here this morning and you're not saved, this has been a different service, but I intended it to be. I felt like the Lord wanted to do what we've done. And I'll just tell you, you've heard the testimony of lives that have been changed. These men and ladies that God's so blessed. Wow. Ms. Brenda Blanchard, 55 years of serving the Lord with the gifts that he's given her here. Such a sweet spirit. How she's blessed us so many times. And then Brother Justin, that God's just added in the last 2.5 years, although this is his home church. But I'll tell you why he does this for these youth people, this youth group. He loves them. And they know he loves them. That's why he has long hours. And Heather's got the baby and Noah. That's why they give their life. I've talked to Justin at times when he's got phone calls at 10 o'clock at night. He's gone to talk with a youth member or a youth member's family. That's what he does. That's his life. It's his ministry. Behold how he loved them. And Tim and Wendy, I'm going to tell you, you cannot pay somebody to do all that this couple does with the drama ministry coordinating all the people, 150 almost people behind the scenes and on stage and everything else, and all the months of preparation and for 2 dramas. And then on top of that, his ministry here in the church of teaching and preaching and ministering and their love for Jesus, their burden to minister in missions and to give hour after hour to the public school ministry and to the softball ministry and to the drama minister there in Garner. They go almost day and night. Behold how they love them. They do it for one reason, because they love people and they love souls. And for Brad, works full-time job in Raleigh, comes, works with the choir, involved in all the services. Never have to wonder if he's going to be here on Wednesday night, fight the traffic to get here, camp meeting every night, revival every night, missions conference every night, comes in, stays late, leaves late, always available to do anything I want him to do. Working with the choir and all the other ministries that he does, and leaving work a lot of times on his way home, go by the hospitals and visit people. On Saturdays, go visit people. Behold how he loved them. I'm glad that we've got staff and Miss Trudy hour after hour here at the church and at home. She does enough now just in the bookkeeping part of this ministry that we'd have to pay her $75,000 a year to an accountant to do it. And all the other stuff she does for every ministry in this church, run off stuff from this and this and that and the other. And hour after hour, always smiling, always willing to serve, doing manually work around here as well. Behold how she loves this church and the Lord. Oh, how he loves you and me.